Father, we thank you. We praise you, Lord, for everything. Thank you, Lord, Father, for this time. God, we have come here just with one purpose, that we will hear from you, not from any man. And this evening, O Lord, even as the word is going to be shared, Father, speak to our hearts and draw us close to you. O Father, we surrender ourselves to your kind hands. O Father, let there be an unction, O Lord, Father, over the speaking of this word, over the hearing of this word. O Father, let there be gentleness, let there be a calmness. Lord Father, let there be a stillness. O Father, that Lord, all agitations in our inner man will just be removed this evening. All distractions will be removed, O Lord Father. That Lord, you will give us the spirit, O Lord Father, of wisdom and revelation, and also the grace to concentrate and not to waver. O Lord, O Father, Speak, O Lord Father, to each one of us, we pray. O Lord, we have come to hear from you. Thank you, Jesus. We praise you. We worship you, Father. Father, keep me, O Lord Father. Guide me, O Lord. Keep me from error, O Lord Father. Let your word, O Lord Father, come with clarity. O Father, let it come, O Lord Father, with authority. O Father, let it come with love. Let it come, O Lord Father, with firmness. Father, let it correct us. Let it not condemn us, but let it convict us. Thank you, Father. We praise you, Lord. We worship you. Thank you, Father. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Just wanted to share an incredible testimony. I think I believe that something happened to me for the very first time in my life. I shared a part of it. Shared it yesterday in the Bible study. But I thought it was so awesome. In the morning, I was studying the word, and I was in some kind of a high, driving my bike back to the university. It's driving at 50 kilometers per hour, okay, and even you see a lot of dashboard signs behind cars, no, all kinds of verses, sometimes some weird signs like my boss is a Jewish carpenter, and all those things. And when I see those kinds of signs, sometimes I cringe, because our boss is no longer a Jewish carpenter. He's seated with the Father at the right hand side of the Father. But this time when I was driving, one sign just arrested me. You know what was written on the sign? Tetelestai. I shared a part of that in my, one of the messages. Tetelestai. It is finished. Paid in full. I've never seen a dashboard like that in my entire life. I was going at some speed, and even as I was going, I looked at a dashboard, and I just stopped. And I went to the gentleman and I knocked at his window. The guy opens it, and I told him, you know what, I've seen all kinds of dashboard, all kinds of signs, but this one I've never seen in my entire life. Tetelestai. And I said, praise God, praise God, praise God. And that guy was having all kinds of smiles and beams, and he was beaming, and he said, which church do you go to? And I said, Grace Tabernacle. Pastor James. And he was so excited, he just got out of the car and he hugged me. And he said, what is your name? I said, I'm Vijay. Vijay? He's the same Vijay who's listed on the webpage. This guy, he's been going to the website and listening to the message. He called me in the morning. He took my phone number. He called me in the morning. He was saying, you know what? I can't forget what was transacted between us even as we talked to each other. It was incredible. It was a divine appointment, I feel. And you know what he said? He told me, when I was speaking to him, he said, you know what? When God appoints a man has to meet another man, no power of darkness can stop it. It was a divine appointment. And he told me in the morning, he said, you know what? Tell your pastor that all his messages are famous all around the world. Amazing. He was beaming. I was thrilled. And he said, we're going to have lunch sometime in the future. He said that we'll meet up and we wanted to discuss a lot of things. It's amazing how God does it. It's just awesome. It never happened in my entire life. Never. First time. So Pastor gave me the permission to share, so I shared it with you. Anyways, you know what it tells us, no? We're a small church, you think. We need something like this to shake us. No? God has given us, I believe, an incredible responsibility to share the word. So every message that goes gets uploaded, every person who's involved in the entire process of distributing God's word to all around the world is important. You might think your transcript job, that 15 minutes that you do, is so insignificant. Who cares? Who looks at it? You're uploading on the website, maintaining the web page, maintaining the organizing the web page, looking at the aesthetics of the web page. So important. Every small thing in the kingdom of God, when we do it, if you sow, you do not know what harvest you're reaping. You'll not even reap now, you'll reap it in eternity. Okay, that is what I believe. That is what it taught me a lesson. No, I don't want to take anything that God gives us in the body for granted. Even a simple water bottle, water cup that you put when, it's incredible. Something you should do for enhancing the energy of the speaker. And when we come to your homes and you give us awesome food. Whenever I go to the Bible study, I get good food. Thank God for such sisters, no? I really get encouraged. It's those small, small things. You don't know what you're planting. It's a seed that you're planting. It's going to be a harvest and you'll reap in eternity. Okay, let's go get into the word today. Last time we looked at our dear man Samson. And we looked at how the stages once, that lead to spiritual blindness. And we looked at two aspects of blindness the last time when we talked about what the New Testament talks about. Two levels of blindness. The blindness of the mind and finally the blindness that happens in your heart. Poros and tuflos. We talked about that. And sometimes if God gives you opportunity after opportunity and after opportunity to repent, but you don't, greater and greater hardness happens. And ultimately, you become so spiritually blind, even when God gives you opportunities to repent, you will not be able to take it. You're so blinded. That's exactly what happened to Samson. Pastor James was talking about it even during the pastor's conference. He said, you know what? Finally, Samson, when he was asking God for the last opportunity, he was more concerned about his eyes, that he could not see the Philistine girls, rather than that he actually wasted his anointing and used it for his own purpose. There was no repentance. There was no genuine repentance. So blind. And finally, he doesn't even say, Lord, sorry. Forgive me. Amazing. That leads to spiritual darkness. So that helps, I'm going to continue on that. That tells me one very important lesson. Very important lesson. Very, very important lesson. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 15 to 17. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 15 to 17. Looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God. By grace you are saved. It is not of your works, through faith. It is only the grace of God which will actually give you the gift of repentance. Fall short. Don't fall short of the grace of God. Lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble and by this many become defiled. Next verse. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person like Esau, who for one morsel of food sold his birthright. And what happened to him? For you know that afterward, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place for repentance, even though he sought for it diligently. But he was not actually seeking for repentance. You know that story. You know what it tells me? Even repentance is a gift of God. It's a gift of God. Genuine repentance is a gift of God. If you want to really know that, it's actually 2 Timothy chapter 2 verses 24 and 25. Look at what it says in 2 Timothy chapter 2 verses 24 and 25. But avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, next verse, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps might grant them what? Repentance. It's not a guarantee that even after the word is going to be preached, that God will grant you repentance. Who has to grant you repentance? God has to grant you repentance. Amazing. So he's saying, don't fall short of the grace of God. That's exactly what happened to Samson. Falling short of the grace of God. Next step, you know what Hebrews talks about. You know what he says? Turn with me to the same chapter, Hebrews chapter 12, verses 27 to 29. 27 to 29. Now, yet this once indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken as of things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken might remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us what? Have grace. Okay? First, let us not, actually KJV, you don't have to go there, KJV uses the word, fail the grace of God. Don't fail the grace of God, or fall from the grace of God, but have the grace of God. Have it, treasure it. It's a gift. The grace of God is a gift. Hebrews chapter 13 verse 9. Look at what it says. 13 verse 9. Do not be carried about with various and strange doctrines, for it is good that the heart be established by grace. What is that? Don't fall from grace. Treasure your grace. And finally what? Be established in grace. Three important steps. Don't fall from grace. Treasure the grace of God because it is a gift. It's not very important, saints. I'm telling you. Very important. The two verses in Hebrews which I always tell you that I wish they were not there. It is impossible for somebody to be led back to repentance if he falls away. And it says in the book of Revelation, the same book of Hebrews, you can fall back to where? Even unto where? To perdition. In other words, in the book of Revelation he says, I will blot your name out of the book of life. Does he not say that? I will blot your name out of the book of life. Amazing. That means what? You should have been there first to be blotted, to be stricken away. So that's the reason why, you know what? Sometimes a man of God said, you know what? We are Gentile, far too Gentile. We are Gentile, far too Gentile. In other words, you know, we have this thing, once saved, always saved. Somehow, it's okay for me to live whatever kind of a lifestyle. Somehow, God in the last minute will give me an opportunity to repent and somehow I'll make it. It's not going to happen. That is what we call as testing God. Grieving the Holy Spirit, quenching the Spirit of God. And finally, the Spirit of God will depart from you. So how do we get established in grace? If you turn with me to the book of Hebrews, Paul talks about seven steps. I'm not going to go into all the seven steps. Specific steps. 13 verse 1 onwards. Hebrews chapter 13. First thing he says, and we looked at it in some measure the last time. Hebrews chapter 13 verse 1. Let brotherly love continue. What did we say last time? Don't be like Peter. You know, Peter probably was ticked off with somebody. How many times should I forgive my brother? Jesus? Seven times is okay? Let it continue. Let it continue. We'll look at it in some detail today. And I'm going to talk about this today. Then we looked at next stage. He talks about is, do not forget to entertain strangers. Pastor James preached an incredible message. You should listen to that if you haven't listened to it. Hospitality, the test of hospitality. For by so doing, some have unwittingly entertained angels. And I want to believe that this guy who was an angel that I met, I don't know. Next stage, remember the prisoners as if chained with them, those who are mistreated since you yourselves are in the body also. We'll talk about it in some measure later. But I want to look at something very important today. Very, 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 very important. Marriage is honorable among all relationships. Among all your earthly relationships, the most important relationship is the relationship between a husband and a wife. But fornicators and adulterers, God will judge. It's amazing. I want to talk about this today. Marriage is what? Honorable among all. It's probably the second most important relationship after your relationship with your Heavenly Father. Now you can go to the presentation. I just want to show you something very interesting. Yeah, click. Marriage according to God. Click. Just first click. How is man made? When man was created, if you look at the 7 days of creation, I'm going to teach you a little bit of Hebrew today. Just learning Hebrew will not make you more holy. Okay? That doesn't mean that I'm more holier than you. I'm just learning some incredible insights. You know what? I want to listen to some rabbis. You know what scriptures talks about Jewish people? Blindness in part has happened to Jewish people. That means what they see in part. They don't see the complete picture. But when we look at it, and when we have our background of 7 years of study in Grace Tabernacle, God gives us a much more insight. So when actually God created man, before he created, the sixth day he was created. What does he say in the Hebrew language? It says, Bereshit bara Elohim et hashamayim vehet aharetz. Bereshit, in the beginning, bara, created, Elohim, God, et. Et is essentially Aleph and Tav. Aleph to Tav. The 22 consonants of the Hebrew language. What does John's gospel say? In the beginning was what? Was the word. So first, God had to establish the word. He had to establish the consonants of the Hebrew language and then use them to create. Okay. What does it say? Bereshit bara Elohim, that is God, et. Et is Aleph and Tav. I'm going to talk about that. Aleph and Tav is Aleph to Tav, 22 consonants. Hashemayim, that is the heavens. Vehet aharet, the earth. Look at what it says. Man, now. Next. El, man, is composed of three Hebrew consonants. Aleph, a yod, which is the smallest of the Hebrew. Jesus tells, right? Not even a small yod or a tittle. He was not kidding. When we as people talk about yod and tittle, we think it's like dotting the I's and crossing the T's. It's not like that. You know, the closest language to Hebrew, any guesses? For people who came to the Bible study, you're excused. The closest language to Hebrew? No. Not even close. Sanskrit, that's what I thought. We Indians have this, no? It could be Sanskrit, no? 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 Yeah, Greek has a structure. But, nowhere close. You know what, it's actually counterintuitive. For people who have studied 10th class, you'll know. The closest is the chemical language. You know what is, I'll tell you what I mean by that. How do you say water? H2O. What do you mean by that? Two atoms of hydrogen, one atom of oxygen sharing the outer electron. And that is how water is formed. That means what? The constitution of water is two hydrogen atoms and one oxygen atom. That is how they share the outward electron and that is how water is formed. That's exactly what it is here. Every alphabet in the Hebrew has a meaning and the composition of it defines what comes out. It's amazing. It's amazing. I'm going to show something incredible today. Why does God say that marriage is honorable and all? So how is man made? He's made with an aleph and a yod and a shin. Aleph. You know what? Alphabet. Aleph bet. That's essentially taken from the Hebrew. What is Aleph? Aleph is the first name or the first letter of God. Elohim. Okay? The first letter of God is Aleph. Elohim. So man was created in the image of God. Therefore what God does, he puts his identity into man. His image into man. How does he do it? He puts a yod and he adds a shin. So what is this in Hebrew? It's Aish. That is man. Next click. Woman. How is she made? Woman is made, same. She is made in the image of God. She has an aleph. She has a shin. And she has a hey. Okay? Stop here. Incredible. You know what a hey is actually composed? Hey is aleph, beth, gimel, dalet, hey. This is a fifth letter of the Hebrew. Okay? Hey is composed of two consonants. Two consonants. This is dalets and a wav. You see the wav over here? A dalet and a wav together comprises a woman. So what is essentially a woman? Dalet means in the Hebrew a door. What is it? It is a door. What does a door stand for? A door stands for a home. What does she do? She takes a man, takes him inside a home, and she establishes the home with a door. You see what I'm talking about? She is a homemaker. She establishes man, and she actually takes man and makes him relevant to us. Okay? That's exactly what a woman stands for. That's exactly the reason why in Proverbs chapter 31 it says a wise woman builds her home. What is she doing? She's building. She's actually taking the man and having him inside, and you know, she's taking care of the children. She's taking care of the home. She's establishing the home. She's ensuring that everything goes in order. Look at the next. And what is marriage? You have marriage when an Aish and Ashi, Aisha, okay? Aish and Aisha come together. What does man have? He has an image of God in him. What does woman have? She also has an image of God in her. So when a believer, a believing woman marries a believing man, both have a particular relationship with God. And it is different from each of you. The way woman relates to God is totally different from the way man relates to God. You see what I'm talking about? That is the reason why we have men's prayer, women's prayer. We have men's appreciation day, women's appreciation week. Day and a week. But what do they have in common? What do they have together? You know what do they have together? They have Yah. What is Yah? Next slide. Just click. What do they have? God. Isn't it amazing? It's amazing that a woman, when she has a relationship with God, she brings her relationship into the marriage, with God into the marriage. Man, he brings his relationship to God into the marriage. And when they both combine, what do they have? They have oneness. That's exactly the reason Jesus says, in the beginning it was not so. There was one man, one woman, and both of them together have this oneness. Why do they have this oneness? This oneness resembles closest to the Trinity. Whew. Are you getting it? Notice, very interesting. Next slide. What if the woman and man say, we don't want God? Man says, I don't want Yah. Woman says, I don't want Hey. What do you have? Aish. A and a shin. Aleph and a shin. What is it? Click. Fire. What is it? Fire. And I looked at it and I said, Lord, what are you teaching me? What are you teaching me? In other words, if a man marries an unbeliever, what happens? What kind of a combination do you get? Next slide. Next click. You get an Aish and a shin. A man with fire. Okay, exactly. I'm going there. I know, Pastor John. I'm going there. You're going ahead of me. Look at what it says. Lust not after her beauty in your heart, Proverbs 6:25. Neither let her take thee with your eyelids, for by means of a whorish woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread, and the adulteress will hunt for the precious life. Can a man take what? Fire in his bosom, and his soul not be burnt? You know what? If you go to the Hebrew, it's exactly Aish and Ash. That's exactly what it says in 1 Corinthians. You don't have to go there. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, it says, you know what? Every sin that you sin is outside where? The body. But if a man commits sexual immorality or adultery, what is he doing? Sinning against his own body. Why? Because he's quenching God in his life. Are you getting it, guys? What if both of them say, we don't want God? What do we have? Fire plus fire will give you what? Explosion. Let me tell you what it means for us believers. When a man forgets that he's made a covenant with God, he's equal to fire. When a woman forgets that she's made a covenant with God, she's also equal to fire, and they are fighting in the home. Everywhere outside is seeing the explosion. Everybody outside is witnessing the explosion in your home. You see what I'm talking about? Why? Both are not interested. Oneness. Isn't it amazing? Oh, that's how God created it. Let's go back to the previous slide. I just want to look at that. Yeah, this one. That is the reason why Pastor keeps telling couples, come together and pray. Why? If two agree, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loosen on earth will be loosened in heaven. Why? Because you have Jesus praying through you in your home. That oneness. That is the reason why. Who was Jesus? He was the express image of the Father. Exact representation of the Father. And where do you find it? In a godly home. When both man and woman remember that they are made in the image of God, and they come together, and then God works through your life. One can put 1,000 to flight. Two can put what? 10,000. Now do you understand why God says marriage is honorable in all? Young people, don't play with fire. It will burn your soul. For sure. For sure. For sure. No question about it. Even your mind. Every time you go to a site and you watch garbage, you're actually burning your mind. What is that? You know what you're doing? You're actually taking fire into your bosom. Can a soul not be burnt? It will be burnt. It will be burnt. And ultimately you will say, oh God, where did I land? So the lessons that I learned for a man, it's incredible. To the man. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 2 to 5. First Timothy chapter 3, verses 2 to 5. Chapter 3, verses 2 to 5. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 2 to 5. First thing, to the man. I will come to the ladies first, later. Because in the kingdom of God, it is gents first. That's what I believe. And also, you know, it will help me later on. Look at what it says. A bishop then must be blameless. The husband of one wife. Got it? Husband of one wife. Temperate. Sober-minded. Good behavior. Able to teach. Next verse. Not given to wine. Tagudu panike radu. The very next verse. Not what? Violent. In Telugu, it's very interesting. Kottuta. Beating. Whom does he beat? Evan kottadu ante? Whom is he beating? He beats the children or the wife. I mean, it's interesting. I'm not telling you this. Just out of, at the top of my head. I was talking to Sister Elsa. And she counsels a lot of men. You know what she says among the Indian men? First common characteristics of all Indian men that they beat their wives. They're violent in their homes. And it is there in all of us. I remember I told this in one of the messages. I was one day so angry. I said, God, you know what? Immediate response. God said, she is your wife. You are my wife. The way you treat her, I will treat you the same. End of story. I'm coming to the women later. Don't worry. Not a striker. Not a striker. It says in KJV, it says not a striker. Malachi chapter 2 verses 13 onwards. 13 onwards. And this is the second thing you do. What do? You cover the altar of the Lord with tears. Edustav, vachi. With weeping and crying. Repentance. If a man of God will see, alright, this is genuine repentance. Revival is happening over here. So he does not regard your offering anymore. Why? Nor receive it with goodwill from your hands. You know why? Yet you say, Lord, what is the reason? Because the Lord has been a witness. He's been a witness between who? You and your wife of your youth. With whom you have dealt treacherously. Yet she is your companion and your wife by covenant. You made a covenant, not with her, you made a covenant with me. That covenant was established with me, not with her. That is what he's talking about. Next verse. But he did not make them one. Why? Having a remnant of the spirit. Why one? He seeks a godly offspring. Do you see why he has made you one? Why he has made you one? He says to the woman, a woman will be saved through what? Childbearing. How is she saved through childbearing? She mentors the children. She is a homemaker. She has this image of God in her heart. She has a oneness with her husband. You know what she does? She mentors her children. It's amazing. I don't want to go there. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 7, you can go and refer back. It talks about Isaiah taking a prophetess. And he has this wonderful boy. His name is Meher Shelel Hasbaz. It's amazing. You know what he says? I and the children that the Lord has given me are for signs and for what? Wonders. You know what he says? Notice what he says. He says, I and the children that the Lord has given me. He does not say, I, my wife, and my children. He never says that. You know what? Because there is oneness. Oneness in them. The wife's name doesn't even have to be mentioned. That's exactly what Hebrews speaks about. The children that you have born. Hebrews quotes Isaiah chapter 7. The oneness that you are giving birth to spiritual children. That's exactly what God is telling to each one of us as husband and wife. You know what? Your job is just not to have children. Having children is easy. To have godly children. Not a striker. Don't be violent, saints. Brothers. And it is there in each one of us. I know it. I know it's there in me. It's natural. The male ego wants to strike. That is how we want to actually behave. Because you know what? One of the ways we want to bring order, our kind of order in our homes, is by intimidation. You shout, you scream, you break the... If you don't break your children's bones, you break the door or the table. You go and beat the door. But that entire anger is directed toward whom? To the wife. It's there. It's there. So what is the remedy for this? What is the remedy? The cliched remedy. But I look at it in a different light today. Ephesians chapter 5. verses 25 onwards. A cliched remedy. Everybody knows this, no? Everybody knows this. What is that remedy? Husbands, love your wives. How? Like Christ loved the church. Hey, how do I do that? How do I do that? How do I love my wife like Christ loved the church? How do I do it? The answer is given very strangely in 1 Timothy chapter 2 verses 13 to 15. Who was found first? I showed you the slide. Adam was found first. And not Eve. Adam was not deceived. Who was deceived? Woman was deceived. I'm telling you this. This is incredible. Adam, we all know, is a type of Christ. You know it, right? Jesus is called the last Adam. Who was not deceived? Adam was not deceived. Who was deceived? The woman was deceived. So what does she do? She takes, she eats. What happens? Immediately the covering over her body is gone. Right? Now she comes to Adam. Adam is not deceived. He very well knows what he's doing. He knows fully well what he is getting himself into. You know what he does? Adam loved Eve so much that he chose to join himself voluntarily in her predicament. If you and I were there, you kid, you blew it. నాకేం తెలియదు. అయ్యగారు అంత చెప్తాం. ఐ డోంట్ నో. ఐఎమ్ గోన్ కంప్లైంట్ టు ద ఫాదర్. డూ యూ లవ్ యువర్ వైఫ్ సో మచ్ బ్రదరిన్ దట్ యూ ఆర్ విల్లింగ్ టు కవర్ హర్ మిస్టేక్స్? దట్స్ ఎగ్జాక్ట్లీ వాట్ జీసస్ డిడ్. హీ టుక్ ఫైర్. He chose knowing fully well that Israel is going to play the harlot. And that's exactly the reason why he says, oh, come back, you backsliding Israel. I'm married to you. Come back yet. You played the harlot. That's exactly what he tells through Hosea. You played the harlot and you sold yourself. Yet come back. I will purchase you back. I will redeem you. Knowing fully well. Now, I want to ask this question to each one of us, no, as men and men to be married. Do we cover our wife's faults or do we take the phone and call? Pastor, you don't know what she did to me. I'll tell you something. If she has been handpicked by God into your life, never ever think, never ever think that you will not be held responsible. Never ever think. You cannot just say cry and put the blame on her. No. You know what God is telling you? I picked her for you. She is a part of my plan for you. She is a part of my purpose for you. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to give you a wife which will bring Christ-like character in you. So every time your wife throws a tantrum, God is telling her, cover. Cover! Take that opportunity to build Christ-like character in you. She may not ultimately follow you. That's not your predicament. But you love God so much, and the way Christ Jesus loved you, what do? You choose to cover her faults. That's exactly what Peter says. He says, love covers a multitude of faults. What do we do, saints? What do we do? You know what? You want some reason. You want somebody to come and pacify and hit you on your back saying, you know what? You're right and your wife is wrong. And let me make a bold statement. Some of us, we think that we have done our wives a great favor by marrying them. I could have gotten any other person. I married you. I know. Otherwise, why do you think on those lines at all? Do you love your wife like that? Do you choose to cover her faults? That's exactly what Christ Jesus did to you. I mean, I tell this example everywhere. Pastor James gave this beautiful illustration so many years back. He said, you know what? I love to do the dishes. You know why I love to do the dishes? At the end of the day, when I come back home, I am like that dish which has been used with all the filth on it. But what do? I put soap, I wash it, I put it under water, I cleanse it, make it shine, and I put it back on the tray. That's exactly what God did to each one of us. Whenever we come back, do all kinds of tantrums, what does he do? He washes us by the water of the Word of God. Oh, that is how much he loves his wife. And he says, you know what, I'm going to build that character in you. And that's the reason why I've chosen this wife for you. That she is my problem, not your problem. You know, can you cover her sins? Can you cover her faults? Or you'll just take the phone and call the elders of the church. Ultimately, they are responsible because, you know what? Ultimately, the alliance was fixed by them. Look what kind of a wife you gave me. That's exactly what Adam said. The woman you gave. Will you cover? Will you cover, saints? Have you been covered by our church? I have been covered by this church. I experienced Christ in this church. And I'm not ashamed to say that. All my faults and my sins and my iniquity have been covered. Cover, saints. Cover. Cover faults. Cover. It's difficult. But that is, God is giving us the opportunity to please him, put a smile on his face by covering your wife. Cover. And I know brethren in our church who cover their wives. I know it. I know it fully well. I know who covers and who doesn't. I know. That is how you love your brothers. And God is saying, if you can't love your wife who's so close to you, how can you love a brother who comes to your house? It's amazing. It's amazing, in the most intimate relationship that is shared on planet Earth, the husband and a wife, they slash each other up with words and with all kinds of tantrums. It's amazing. It's amazing. To the woman. 1 Peter chapter 1. Chapter 3, verses 1 to 6. Wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands. That if some do not obey in word, they, without a word, may be won by your conduct. How many of the women in our church, married women have tried to win their husbands through their behavior and have not taken the phone? Did you ever try? Did you even try before taking the phone to win over your husband? Did you try it through your behavior to win your husband? I mean, what do you think? The husband that God gave you was to build Christ in you. And you know what? Whenever your husband is throwing a tantrum, God is giving you the opportunity to win his love through your behavior. It's amazing. What do women do? Call. You do not know what he did to me. You do not know. You do not know. He did this, he did this, he did this. Complain, 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 complain about their own husband. Do you love your husband? That you will win your husband? Let me tell you something. I am not trying to show my authority over your life. Please. Before marriage, he won you. After marriage, God is saying, win him. That is not excusing husbands, okay? Win him. That is the reason why there is no oneness. Why is there no oneness? First of all, nobody even wants to come together to pray. You know why? Because there's this barrier after barrier after barrier after barrier of pride. And yet you have forgotten the fact that you and him together actually have Christ in your family. You've forgotten that. Why? Because you go back. It's verse 7 of this chapter. Husbands likewise dwell with them with understanding, etc., etc. Why? Being heirs together to the grace of life. What did we say? What did we say? First, don't fail away from grace. Second, have grace. Third, be established in grace. If you establish your marriage, saints, you're establishing the grace of God in your lives. You do not understand what you're losing when you actually allow pride to come and make a big wall between you and your wife. How you do not even know. I'm telling married men and married unmarried men and unmarried women, be prepared for this. Marriage is not going to be a romantic honeymoon. There is going to be all kinds of things which come into your life. And God will pick the person into your life, the right kind of person, not the perfect person, the right kind of person so that he can build Christ in you. That is the whole objective. So that you can be heirs of grace. Otherwise, what will happen? Your prayers will be hindered. There's no power. There is no power in a marriage. And yet, there are so many married couples, believing couples in our home, in our church, which is our home. And imagine the kind of power that should be generated. If one can put 1,000 to flight, two can put 10,000 to flight. If there are 10 couples, how many? Just do the math. I know it's a very, very difficult topic. I mean, I know when I'm saying I'm getting cut, don't misunderstand me. I don't want to beat you up. That's not the point. The point is this. Just look at Christ. How he just covers us. How he covers us. I was trembling when I was coming. I said, Lord, should I do this or not do this? Do this or not do this? What is he saying to the woman and to the men? Don't ever forget. Don't ever forget the bigger purpose. The bigger purpose is me. It is not about seeking for comfort or satisfaction in your man, in your husband or your wife. The bigger purpose is together you have my name. You have my name. And demons tremble at my name. At my name. That is the purpose. And you know what happens when you lay aside all of your malice and your hatred and your pride and you become tender hearted one with another? Can you imagine the power that will be released in the church, in the body of Christ? And it is strong families which make a strong church, saints. Let us never forget that. Finally, to the man, to the woman, to the church. Finally, to the church. Revelation chapter 17, verses 1 to 5. Then one of the seven angels, words to the seven bowls, came and talked with me, saying to me, come, I will show you the judgment of the great harlot who sits on many waters, with whom the kings of the earth committed fornication. And the inhabitants of the earth were made drunk with the wine of her fornication. Next verse. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast, which was full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns. The woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls, having in her hand a golden cup full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And her on her forehead a name was written, Mystery Babylon, the great, the mother of harlots and of the abominations of the earth. I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints. 1 John chapter 2. Verse 18 onwards. Little children, it is the last hour. It is. It is the last hour. And Antichrist is coming. And God needs a powerful church so that he can have so many people to take refuge in your place. Are we prepared for that? Are we prepared for that? How are we prepared? If there is strife in our own homes, how can we be prepared? Tell me. Tell us. How can we be prepared if there is strife in our own home, we fight with each other, we say things to each other, and we don't even have no repentance at all. There's no repentance. All you do is, she is hurting me. Somebody. So you go and throw your baggage on the elder of the church. But you have not changed. And that's exactly the reason why God is saying, you know, man, marriage is honorable and all. And a church has to recognize that fornicators and adulterers, you have to recognize that you are married to Jesus. You are married to Jesus. And Jesus is saying, if you and I are one, we will birth spiritual children. If you and I are one, what will we do? We will birth spiritual children. Be established in grace, saints. I know it's very difficult. I'm not sure if I've actually conveyed my heart. I'm not sure if I've talked to the men and I've talked to the women. I'm not sure if I've talked to the church. But one thing I'm sure. Very sure. You know what? Whatever happened to Israel, if you and I do not take heed, will happen to us also. This is for sure. For sure. The patterns in the Old Testament, they're for our learning. So that through us, you know, there was a man of God who was broken. And when God, Pastor Tim tells me, you know, you look at different preachers, men of God have got gray hair. You know what? They are broken. And they plead. They plead with the church. You know what they say? They cry and they cry and they say, you know what? Remember, the church is all about lost souls. Remember, don't ever forget that. Don't ever forget that. Remember that. They're broken over the church. You know why? The church is for lost souls. And if people come into our church and they find strife in our own church, what will happen to them? Children not obeying the parents. Husbands don't love their wives. Wives not submissive to their husbands. Gossip, slander, everything happening in a church. When an unbeliever comes. Tell me something, saints. Tell me something. You know what? When Paul talks about where the church comes together, what does he say? Let one come with a tongue, let another interpret. When they come, let they come to edify the body of Christ. Does he not say that? What happens during our fasting and prayer? Tell me, are we giving to the church or are we taking from the church? Tell me, do we come with a psalm, with an interpretation? With an interpretation, do we come? Do we come with a, have we come prepared to our fasting prayer? Have we come? Do we give or do we take? Do we do that? I mean, have you seen in a fasting and prayer, you have only one lady speaking in tongues. I mean, Pastor James speaks in tongues. Sister Elsa interprets. That's it. That's all happens. Only two people are giving. And that is also being questioned. Unfortunately. You know why? When you have come together, you have forgotten the purpose for which you are coming together. You're not even prepared. You're not even prepared. Lord, give me a tongue so that I can edify. So that when one person comes, his heart will be revealed and he will fall flat on his face and repent. Is that not what it says in the book of Corinthians? But let everything be done in order. Does it not what it says? Is that not what it says? How do we come to a fasting and prayer? I'm not saying that we do that in a church. No, we don't do that in a church. We do that in a fasting and prayer setup. And so many fasting and prayers, at least 6 years of fasting and prayer, and how many of us have given to the church? Ask yourself this question. Ask yourself this question, saints. How many of us have given to the church? We've only taken. We only felt good when somebody comes and says, this is what the Lord says about you. But have we said, this is what the Lord says about you? Have we said that? Have we said it, saints? To the man, to the woman, and to the church, don't forget your purpose. The purpose is to give and not to take. The purpose for a man is to cover. The purpose for a woman is to win. And the purpose of the church is to birth and father spiritual children. Does it not say in Ephesians, this is a great mystery, and I'm not talking about a husband and a wife, and I'm talking about Christ and the church. That is the reason why he says marriage is honorable and all. And one of the pillars of being established in the grace of God is a strong understanding marriage. The choice is ours, saints. Beginning with me, it's ours. I have spoken. It is up to us to take it. It is up to us to go to the secret closet of prayer and fall flat on our faces before God and say, oh Lord, forgive me. Forgive me because I've been only a taker and not a giver. And giving is not in money, saints. Every time we talk about giving, we think it's only money. It's not money, saints. That is easy. But it is difficult to go and pray and get a tongue and interpretation from God and edify the body. That is difficult. That is difficult. Amazing. How many wasted fasting and prayer opportunities for all of us. Both is happening. And God is telling each one of us, hold up your socks, tighten up your belts, and be prepared for battle. And it will start in your homes first. And all of us have believing spouses. And if it is difficult for us, what will it be for them who are outside? Marriage, please don't hate me. Please, okay? I just put my heart and I'm just speaking my own life. My own life. I've been open to you. I've been a failure in my own marriage. And I'm not ashamed to say that. When you say failed marriage, what will you say? Vijay, come on. What are you talking about? I'm telling you, we haven't prayed the way we are supposed to pray as a husband and a wife. Let me confess that to you. And I take responsibility. Men who want to get married, establish your relationship with God first. First. If you don't establish your relationship with God, forget about marriage. I'm telling you honestly. Forget about it. Forget. It's not for you. Establish. It's not going to be easy. I'm sorry if I've offended any one of you, but I have to speak this. You are the closest to us. This church. But I have to say this. Know the purpose, saints. I love you. Let me pray. Thank you, Jesus, for this day. Father, you're asking, O Lord Father, each one of us to be prepared in our homes. Because the time is short. And this is the last hour. This is the last hour. This is the last hour, Lord. Enable us, Lord Father, to never take things for granted. Never take things lightly. Enable us not to continue in sin. Oh Father, let us not continue in sin, O Lord. Let us not continue. Oh Father, let us have the fear of God. Let us not continue in strife. Let us not continue in gossip. Let us not continue in slander. Let us not continue in backbiting, in jealousy, in envy. Oh Father, there is a purpose that we are forgetting, O Lord. And Lord, remind us today. Remind us today. Remind us today. Remind us, remind us, remind us, O Lord. Bring it back to our remembrance, O Lord. If people have grown cold, revive them. Revive marriages. Heal, O Lord. Only you can heal. Oh Father, you are the balm of Gilead. Lord, you said in your word that a smoking flax you will not put out. A bruised reed you will not break. And so many of us are struggling. But because we have forgotten the bigger purpose, we have given excuses as to why we are lacking. And we have never taken responsibility. Forgive us, O Lord. Forgive us. Enable us to cover as husbands. Enable us to cover. Enable the women who are married, O Lord Father, to win their husbands. And enable us as a church, to give to one another. Thank you, Father. Father, I don't sense anything, O Lord. No sense of euphoria. But I believe, O Lord Father, you have spoken. Enable us, Lord Father, to not harden our hearts when we have heard your voice today. But enable us to set it right today, O Lord. Praise you, we worship you. We give you glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' name.